Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. We're going to be getting together in the not-too-distant future to play in a family golf tournament. I've been getting the golf clubs ready for everybody. Fun event. I'll tell you all about it later. This hour is brought to you by DirtDoctor.com, our brand-new website. And you need to check it out if you haven't already. Over there on the right-hand side, there's a list of items, what those represent, or things where we've changed something, updated the entry in the library there, or new newsletter, or new this, that, or the other thing. The website's in good shape, but there's still some stuff that's broke. In fact, I just ran into something. I pulled up something on a question that I see coming up, and I noticed that the pictures were broke. And so we're still doing some of that. I don't know why some pictures, transferred from the old website over perfectly and some didn't, but that's the case. As you go through the website, if you run into anything like that or see anything that you subject that we haven't covered at all or as well as you'd like, let us know, and we're continuing to add to the site. There's videos there. There's connections to Facebook. There's connections to YouTube, the members area. You can go there and see what's involved in that. That is the only part that there is some expense to, but there's some additional things for the members there that you might be interested in. So check that out. And let us know if you see anything one way or the other on DirtDoctor.com that we need to work with. Back to the phones. And by the way, the phone number is 866-444-3478. Jonathan in Waxahachie next up. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What's up?
I just wanted to get your thoughts on brewing compost tea, the best way to do it, and...
Well, there's a lot of different ways that are successful. In fact, that's one of the things that I just went to take a look at because I saw your question coming up, and it's broke. The pictures are not there. And
okay.
Some of the pictures, the information's still there. It's still good. Bruce Dooley, our friend down in the San Antonio area, had some real good pictures of a very simple process of doing it, and that's why I put it on there, and I was – looking to see if it was still there, and lo and behold, the pictures aren't. But basically what Bruce, and I've done the same thing a lot of times, uses a 5-gallon bucket, put some quality compost in there, a lot of times worm castings or something that you can purchase. We have in the Dallas area, there's some real high quality worm castings available. That's a high quality compost, full of a lot of life. But if you have your own good quality compost that you've made yourself, or if you buy a commercial product, that's what you use in the 5-gallon bucket. And normally what I do is make it about half full of compost and then the rest water, and get one of the little stones from an aquarium store so you can pump air through the water. And as you pump air through the water, add some molasses to the mix. And you add the molasses, liquid molasses in this case. You add it at about a half an ounce per gallon of water. And you end up with, you can use more or less compost than that. Some people that make compost tea will fill the container completely full of compost and then just have the water in there. And so they come up with an extremely dense compost tea that can be then diluted more. I tend to fill the bucket about a third or a half full, which is still a lot, and then that concentrated compost tea. And the other debate about it is how long you let that bubbling take place. Some people say that an hour is more than enough. Bruce has said in the past and has had good luck with it, and I have too, that doing it as long as 12 to 24 hours is good. There are people, and I'm kind of buying into that philosophy a little bit, say that doing it that long, you don't end up with the maximum amount of microbes that way. You actually do some damage by brewing it that long. So you might try it in different ways. I'd say probably doing it an hour or two might be a better way to go. And then use it as soon as you can. Dilute it with water and use a 5-gallon bucket to cover as much as an acre with a foliar application. And as much as you cover about 10,000 square feet as a drench. And it will be loaded with microorganisms and do a lot of work. Now, the lazy man's way of doing compost tea, and some of the commercial people do it. In fact, Lambert's and More Tree Care use this technique with their commercial clients that are all organic. They'll use the Garrett Juice Pro, which is a commercial version of Garrett Juice that has mycorrhizal fungus and bacteria in it. It has the products that last in a sealed container. Dr. Michael Amaranthus in Oregon came up with a way to do that with mycorrhizae, and other several people have done it with the beneficial bacteria. And so you spray a Garrett Juice Pro mixture, and it has the beneficial organisms in the spray, and you don't even have to go through the process of brewing it. So that's just an alternative way to go. And the commercial people like that, you know, because they don't have to worry about the amounts of compost tea from time to time being different levels.
Sure. Have you heard of the Vortex Brewer?
Yeah, I don't like it at all. It spins things at a rate that it really tears them all to pieces, tears the microbes all to pieces. Mary Rose, is this counter working correctly? Hang on just a minute,
all
Jonathan.
Right.
I guess I'll need to check on it.
Okay. I think that it works fine. It's just that I don't like anything that spins and sets up a condition where it puts a lot of pressure on the microbes. The mycorrhizal fungi are very delicate. If you look at some of my pictures of mycorrhizal fungus, like I was showing in my talk last night, that are on the roots of plants and all, they're very, very tiny, filamentous and delicate and everything. And when you're doing something that's spinning real fast, I just worry about it hurting that mycorrhizal fungus. And that's one of the main things we're trying to grow with our compost tea and our organic applications, you know.
Yeah, just from all the research I've done, from what I found out, that most people say that's the best way of brewing compost tea, but
most people say the Vortex is the best way?
Yes.
From what
I found.
Yeah, you'd have a lot of argument there between people like me and Bob Webster, who does a show like this in San Antonio, and other people. You don't want to try to grow microbes and then at the same time do damage to them, see?
I think what they use the Vortex for is just to get more oxygen into it versus, you know, say an airstone.
At least
from my perception, from what research I've done.
You know what it was originally developed for, don't you?
I do not.
It was developed to pull the pathogens out of manure at livestock areas where there was a big problem with manure. And so there's a lot of pressure and a lot of separation that goes on with the Vortex. It works okay. Like I said, there's all kinds of different ways to do compost tea. And a lot of people will say that there's no possible way that you can keep microbes alive in a container. There's people that would argue with that point that I gave you. But, you know, we're not only comfortable with the technology coming from Dr. Amaranthus and the way he does protect the mycorrhizal fungus, but we're very comfortable with the results we get using the techniques out there. Plus, I'll say this, it may be more important in the final analysis for it to be the microbes being stimulated in the ground rather than putting microbes out with the product. You see what I mean? The Garrett juice mixture, even if it doesn't have the mycorrhizae and the bacteria in it, as soon as it hits the soil, it's starting to stimulate biological activity. Some people that are trying to do a competitive product have actually analyzed the Garrett juice mixture and reported to us that there was a lot of microbes in the mixture, even before Mike got involved in putting his microbes in there. I don't see how that works, quite frankly, but there appears to be something to it. But it may be more important just what we're stimulating in the ground. I got to run. I hope that helps you. Unless you had something else, I'll put you on hold.
That was it.
Okay. Talk to you later. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth:
Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We're going to talk to Doris about pomegranates, and I'm going to go ahead and talk to her, and then I'll do a little tip for you. Hi, Doris.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I wanted to ask you about a pomegranate tree. I had one that got quite large, actually produced a few pomegranates, and then just completely died back. Boom, it was gone. Then I noticed some younger plants coming up out of the ground. Now I have another pomegranate coming up there. In fact, several little sprouts that's probably between 4 and 5 foot tall and looks really healthy. What are my chances of getting that to bear fruit?
Pretty good, and I have exactly the same situation going on right now in my backyard. I just cut down our big pomegranate yesterday, and mine was killed by squirrels. The squirrels ate the bark off of the base of it. Did you see anything like that by any chance?
Nope. No, but we did have, oh gosh, it wasn't squirrels. Do you remember what it was? They kind of marked off the limbs of that.
Well, you could have had rats, mice, squirrels, various kinds of things.
Remember. And but what, I did see where some was missing.
I think what it's related.
That's what it was. It was grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers got it? Well, that could have been it too. I think what, in both cases, the deal is, Doris, that Our plants got in severe stress because of the enormous amount of rain that we had in the spring and then again a few weeks ago. And the pomegranate is kind of a xeric type of a plant. Mine probably gets a little bit more shade than it likes, but I have a pomegranate next to it now that's about 6 feet tall that came up, and I haven't tried to dig it up yet. I may dig it up and move it over to the original spot, or I may move it somewhere else. It's too close to my big bay tree to do any good. But I did see the same thing you did. I did see some shoots that are probably root sprouts coming off of the root system of the plant. The answer to your question is, if you let those go and trim them into the shape you want, they'll produce just like the tree that was there produced.
Wonderful.
It'll be the same plant.
All right. Another question real quick.
Sure.
St. Augustine, what's the best way? I looked it up in the library of yours, and it didn't really tell me anything about what to do for feeding it, to take care of it. It's sort of in the shade, but it does get some light. But I don't think it has too much shade. I just need to know. It died back. I still, upstairs is really nice.
Okay. Well, I need to look at our entry there and put some fertilizer information. I'm making a note here. To do that. Basically, With the natural organic program, we feed everything the same way because we're feeding the soil. We're not really feeding specific plants other than sometimes doing some tweaking and some fine-tuning. So basically what we do is whatever we're doing on everything else, that's what we do on St. Augustine grass. I tell most people when they first get started with the program to fertilize once in the very early spring, late January or February, and then sometime in the early summer, June, and then sometime in September or October in the fall. Once you've gotten into the program, once you've been in it for a while and you've developed biological life, healthy biological life in the soil, you probably can cut back to one dry fertilizer application a year and then spray a Garrett juice-type mixture once a month or once a quarter is what most people do.
You think that Garrett juice pro that you was talking about a little earlier would be good?
It'd be great. It's exactly what's being used on a commercial basis now on a lot of properties, and people are just seeing fantastic results with it. But the fall, if you cut back to one dry application a year, there's still a debate about, and I'm not even sure exactly how I come down on this, but there's a debate amongst all of the organic people about whether one application a year is better in the spring or in the summer or in the fall. And there are people that would argue all three of those. I normally, if I'm going to do one a year, I normally do kind of a spring application, and sometimes I'll then do a fall application at kind of a half rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that works real well, too.
Yeah. Well, I use all organic. I've been here 16 years.
Oh, great.
I have no chemicals on our lawn at all.
That's great.
So I'm just not sure why. I'm saying, obviously, like I said, what's there still looks really good.
Well, there are some people. I was talking to my uncle down in Austin the other day, and I got him on an organic program years ago. And his program, believe it or not, now for I think he was telling me something like 20 years, has been to mow the St. Augustine grass and mulch the clippings into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all he's ever done.
That's pretty much what
and
we
he's
did.
Had beautiful grass. Now, we were talking because he had one little problem pop up, and I told him it might be time, the grass may be getting a little hungry, it might be time to put out at least one application of organic fertilizer. But if you mulch like we recommend, leave the clippings on the ground, you really don't need more than one application a year in most cases.
I'll be putting some out January or February.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
I'm just going to leave that pomegranate there and wait for it to bloom.
Yeah, I'll let it go. Sure.
Thank you for your help.
I'll talk to you later.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Yeah, I was disappointed in that. I always hate to lose plants, but sometimes, you know, stress hits a plant so badly that nature takes it out. That's exactly what happened with the pomegranate, and nothing you could do about those rain events we had. They were just gigantic. I'm kind of glad that we didn't have more losses than we did. We had very, very few around our place. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be right back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And I think back to the phones. I don't think I forgot to do anything. Let's see where we're going to go first. Dennis in Chicago first. Hello, Dennis.
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Not a problem. So I actually just tuned in here for the first time here, and I noticed most of your calls are down south in Texas area, but I'm up in the Midwest in the Chicagoland area.
Uh-huh.
And I've been slowly trying to convert everything I have to go green. I actually just built a little greenhouse that I've dug up all my plants for the winter so I can keep them alive because my wife loves her annuals. But I got a couple questions. The first one is on your compost and your soil formulas and stuff. Does that all that stuff translate up here into the Midwest and Chicago area as well?
Yeah, very well, Dennis. We have quite a number of listeners in Chicago, and since you're just joining us, I guess I haven't even been paying attention. Most of the calls today have been from this area. We've got a Pennsylvania call coming up. So we deal with people all across the country. And basically what I recommend works coast to coast and border to border, with basically two exceptions to that. One is timing. You know, you'll because of your weather, you have to do things
right.
A little bit different timing than I do here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And people in Florida, you know, have a lot different timing than you and I both have. But and then the other thing is specific species of plants, you know, will vary, you know, depending on where you are in the country. But as far as bed preparation and how you plant a tree properly and how you control insects and diseases and how you fertilize and everything, it's the same across the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Good. Now, the other thing is here, I live in an unincorporated area where I have a natural well, and my water is high in iron. Now, is it okay, I mean, if I'm using this to make my compost tea and stuff like this, is it going to have any negative effect on any of this?
Well, you can get some staining from iron, as you probably know, and you can also have a chemistry problem. We have just the opposite situation on this subject down here. We have very alkaline soils, and so we'll sometimes add the garret juice mixture to it or vinegar to counteract that. What would be the best thing in your case would be, one, the entire garret juice mixture will work for you as well, even though there's some vinegar in it. The overall effect of that mixture works wherever you are. But the other thing that I would probably recommend that you do is add a liquid humate. Now, the liquid humate is in the commercial versions of garret juice. If you make it yourself, you'd use compost tea or something like that, coffee grounds or something like that, which is fine. But their coffee grounds are kind of acid as well. So if you can get a commercial version of garret juice, or if you can get, which you can get a mail order if none of the local stores have it. Hopefully we can get some stores in Chicago carrying all this stuff. But liquid humates, and they're humic acid products. Those things mixed with water will do more good for buffering and neutralizing your chemistry imbalance in your water than anything you can do.
Okay. All right, cool. And then the last other question. I have a resource that I get mushroom compost in abundance, and I've been using that in a lot of my plants and stuff like this, but listening to your dirt formula for the soil preparation and everything else, because next year I'm planning to do a lot of different stuff with raised beds, is mushroom compost going to a different or kind of – is there any negative effects if I use just pure mushroom compost as opposed to anything else?
Well, it's a good question. I used to recommend mushroom compost myself, and I don't anymore, Dennis, because I finally – took the time to look into exactly what's in that mixture. When they do the mushroom beds, a large portion of that mix is peat moss. And then there's also some hay-type products, you know, in there. There's synthetic fertilizer in it. And what they do to grow the mushrooms is that they're growing the mushrooms in the material before it has broken down very much. It's breaking down causes the mushroom growth. Once it gets broken down pretty well, that's when they're putting it in a pile and selling it to somebody like you, and it's fairly well broken down at that point. But we have found through the years that in comparing growth that we get from the mushroom mix to, you know, quality made compost, there's a big, big difference.
Yeah. Okay.
If you get it free, I would say it's probably worth continuing to get it. But I tell you what I would do with it rather than putting it directly in the beds. I'd put it in the compost pile and compost it with some leaves and with some green plant tissue and maybe with some wood chips and maybe with some other things, some manure, some organic fertilizer, some molasses, and break it down and create a better quality product than it is to start with.
Oh, okay. That's you'll get it free.
Yeah, then it's so usable.
All right, that's excellent advice. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your help.
Call us again.
All right, will do. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Fort Worth and talk to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Howard, I have a Japanese, I think, windmill palm. It's a robust tree, 7 years old, been organically cared for, and it's 9 feet tall probably, and I want to move it from where it is now, and I didn't know if now was the right time of year, how much of the root ball I need to take, and if I should feed it foliar feeding after it's in place at the new place, how to do it successfully.
Okay. Well, good news, Dave, is that the Japanese windmill palm is probably the toughest palm there is.
Great.
It's really durable. It can take cold weather that's incredibly cold, and it can take a lot of bad situations. A lot of the palm experts recommend moving the palms in the summer rather than in the fall. I would recommend, I've planted a lot of palms. I've never moved a whole lot of them. I know that they don't have the typical, the same kind of stem structure and the same kind of trunk flare and the same kind of roots. And so it's possible that you can or you should do it at a different time of the year. What I would do, and I'll do a little research on this for you as well, and if you'll send me an email to info@dirtdoctor.com, I'll get back with you a little bit. But I think that there's some of the palm experts that recommend moving it when it's hot, not when it's dormant season, which sounds kind of strange. I think that the windmill palm is so incredibly hardy, you can move it anytime and not have a problem at all. But and you don't have to worry about planting them too deep in the ground and a lot of things about palms that are different. But this will make me look into it in a little more detail, and I'll get back with you. Maybe we'll even do a newsletter. I've been thinking about doing a newsletter on hardy palms anyway, the ones that can take the cold weather. There's a handful of them, and we've got a library entry on it, and I don't know if I've done an update on our newsletter in a long time, and this would be a good subject to add to it about what's the best time for transplanting.
Well, I'll send you some pictures of it.
That'd be great.
Juvenile to now, and then the root ball, do you have a recommendation on how large?
Yeah, you don't need very big at all.
Okay, great.
They've got very small roots. Okay, and I'll talk to you about it more, okay?
Bye.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And the if you're wondering what that one is exactly, it's easy to identify because it has really dark green foliage that's all clustered together. And if it has any height at all, it has a pretty some people like to call it, no offense to it, for people that have this tree, but a lot of the palm people call it a flimsy trunk. And the reason is because the way the parts of the leaf stay on the trunk for a while and then fall off on the lower part, it gives the effect that the tree trunk is smallest at the base, right where it goes in the ground or comes out of the ground, and gets bigger at the top. Thus, the term flimsy trunk has come around. But it is a tough, really good palm, and we'll try to get you a little bit more information on this transplanting subject. Elizabeth in Pennsylvania somewhere. Where are you in Pennsylvania, Elizabeth?
Near Collegeville.
All righty. What can we do for you?
I have a 300-year-old white oak tree, and it's very stressed. I'm using beneficial grub nematodes to treat termites. And my question is, for over the winter months, when the nematodes work at only 60 degrees, and so for the colder temperatures, what would be a good termite treatment? And I have some other questions.
Okay, well, this is an interesting angle. First of all, the white oak is a plant that we can grow here, so I'm familiar with it. It likes deep sandy soils more. I have it in my plant books, and it's on dirtdoctor.com. It's one of my favorite trees. I think it's just an absolutely gorgeous tree. Does yours have really deep red fall color?
It does, when it has leaves. Right.
Okay, has it already had fall color and lost them this year?
It didn't have leaves this season, but when it has had leaves, it did.
Okay, that's not a good sign if you didn't have any all season long. What I would recommend, Elizabeth, is look at the entry on our website that's called the Sick Tree Treatment. I'll explain it to you, but the details are there for everybody as well. It's a procedure.
Yes, I've been doing that.
Okay.
And I've been having really good results, actually.
Okay, good. Well, the reason I thought maybe you hadn't seen some of that stuff yet, termites are not destructive to a tree.
Oh.
What they're doing is they're coming in and being opportunistic, doing their business of setting up shop in dead wood tissue. Something else caused the dead wood. Did you have a lightning strike that hit the tree, or
the tree's by the road and they paved the road?
Okay.
Yeah. That, and plus the township just cut away at it. when I wasn't home.
That's a shame on a gorgeous big 300-year-old tree.
Right.
I'm worried about it. If it didn't have any leaves at all this year, that's really not a good sign. If you've done the sick tree treatment, which, of course, includes exposing any of the flare that was covered up during all that construction, but doing all the rest of it is all you can do. Treating the termites, you can do. You can kill them with spinosad products. You can kill them with orange oil very effectively. You can kill them with all kinds of safe organic products and do it
the
if you want to.
Orange oil.
Yeah, orange oil.
The but orange oil, do you just apply that to the soil? Do you just soak the
mix
soil
it in water or at a couple of ounces per gallon and spray the area on the tree and treat wherever the insects are? But the termites, like I said, are not hurting the tree. Let me put you on hold. Let's talk off the air a little bit more. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com.
You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Howard back, and let's go to Dallas caller Bryant, listening on 660, I'm sure, and see what's going on with his plants. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with my vine borers.
In what plants?
All of them. They even got my potato plants. They cut them off.
You're kidding.
I'm serious. I don't know. I've done, you know, you recommended me using, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you recommend once before silica, and I don't know whether that's just plain sand or is that something?
I recommended was natural diatomaceous earth. We got a report from a longtime vegetable gardener that since he started adding natural DE, diatomaceous earth, to the bed preparation before he planted squash and zucchini and things that are really susceptible to the squash vine borer insect, that he hadn't had any problems with that or squash bugs, either one. Now, that might have been just a fluky deal, but it makes some sense because DE has a lot of silica. It's 85% silica dioxide, and what that means is that using natural diatomaceous earth in the soil, you have put something in there that is available to the plant. If you just put silica sand in the soil, the availability of silica would be zero. It wouldn't help you a bit.
Yeah, I tried that. They're getting so bad. If I treat it down close to usually, they'll get within 2 or 3 inches of where it comes out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They attack some of my squash and cucumbers up 2 foot off the ground.
My friend Bob Webster, down in San Antonio, who I do a 30-minute visit with every Saturday morning, he and I talk about this quite a bit. And they had a huge problem with the last couple of years, and he even in his garden did. And so they started looking at some new techniques. I don't think he's done the natural diatomaceous earth too much yet. But what he did do and had success with, it's a little trouble, but it works, is to go to a vet or to a drugstore and get a large syringe like would be used for pets, giving them shots, and inject some BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, like thuricide, into the stem of the plants when they first start getting growing before the beautiful squash vine borer adult, you know, comes around and or the larva of that beautiful adult comes around and, you know, crawls in and enters that stem and starts turning it into a shredded mess.
Yeah, I thought about that because, I mean, I've tried everything, and, you know, it's like this was the worst year I've had. And I don't know if it was because of the rain. Even a couple
of
later, my buddy
probably
said
was.
That, that usually in the second growth, later in, you know, when you know, come in with them in July, that all the vine borers had left you or whatever.
Right.
But, man, they came back. I ate them all the way up till the last couple of months. I've been
okay, let's do this, and you're in charge of this research now, Bryant. Natural diatomaceous earth in the bed this next season's crop before you plant. Put it, cover the soil with, you know, a good heavy layer of diatomaceous earth. You know, cover it so it's just pure white. It'll be dusty and messy. Don't breathe a lot of it. It won't hurt you that much, but you don't want to breathe anything dusty. It, till that into the soil, and then when the plants start to grow, when they still have nice, firm stems, and you know you haven't had any damage yet, inject the natural biological product, BT, into the stems.
Would that go through a syringe like, I was thinking about using a smaller needle, like a diabetic needle or something. Is that too small?
Good question. It may be a little bit of a problem. Give it a try and see, and if it doesn't work, just get a bigger needle.
Yeah, I understand that. I didn't know it. Since sometimes the vines are a little small, big needle might damage a little bit. I've been thinking about doing that because I said I don't know other way to get it, so when they bite the plant, it might kill them.
Yeah, Bob and his listeners who have tried it said that there hadn't been any problem, and he's recommending a big one.
All right, very good.
Okay.
I'll do both and see what I can come up with because I must have them terrible in my soil. Cause
let us know.
I hadn't noticed digging up. They said the larvae may be coming up in the soil when I till. Is it better to till or just turn it with a fork?
Well, it's better to do neither one. If you get the soil healthy, the best thing to do is stay off of it and not continue to disturb it, because once soil is healthy in a vegetable garden or anywhere, you have layers of the organic matter, and you have layers of biological activity, different biological activity at different layers. So if you can stop disturbing it as much as possible, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I have trouble because, you know, sometime it gets rain this year and got packed so tight, you know, I've been trying to break
it up. Well, you need to keep mulch on it, and then you won't have that happen.
All right, very good. I'll see what I can do, and I'll, you know, later in the spring, maybe if I'm having success, I'll get back with you.
Let me know.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, keeping it mulched is a big deal. I will be back for hour number three after this, so don't go away. We'll be happy to visit with you about whatever your question is. There's several people holding. I'll get to you just as soon as I can. I got one little quick thing to do before we go back to the lines. And when you hear somebody hang up, give us a call at 866-444-3478. Website is dirtdoctor.com. Our newsletter is free. Just sign up online on the homepage. That's the easiest way to do it. Or you can just send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. And if you've got a photograph of something like the white oak we were talking about or any other plant issue, you can send me a picture and maybe I can help answer the question better if I can see it. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com.